Yeah, okay. Now I know. I remember that scene. He was in the volleyball scene. He and what were he and Iceman boning or not? Because they were, partners, pilot and co-pilot.
Hey guys, this is Bridget.
And this is Will.
And this is Mary.
Welcome to
No Stupid.
I have some kind of exciting news. It doesn't really mean much, but it could mean something really awesome. It could amount to nothing, but I'll share it anyway. So I participated in Pit Mad on Twitter last week. It's not anything sexual. Don't get confused with the Pit Mad. It's stands for Pitch Madness, and you pitch your book online, on Twitter, to all these different and all these different literary agents are looking. And one of the agents requested to look at my work. So I'm pretty excited about it. Yeah. That's really small. It's a small literary agency. But it's so cool. Gotta start somewhere. And she may hate it when she reads my pages, but that's okay. Cause gotta at least, I've always been so terrified to let people look at my work, but now I'm just nobody's gonna magically come to me and be hey, we want to publish your book, if they don't see it. So
not with that attitude, Bridget.
Not with that attitude, you're right. So so that's my exciting news of the week.
That's awesome. Congrats. Yeah.
Thanks.
Is it nonfiction? Is it fiction?
It's fiction. Yeah. It's the story that I wrote about Pi-Fi.
I don't know that one.
Okay. Did I not tell you? I guess it was just my Pi-Fi friends that I told about that. Anyway, it's basically just, our sorority got shut down, my senior year of college. And it was just kind of we were all pretty bummed about it. And so I came up with this idea that no, I did not ever want to take anybody hostage. I want to make that clear. Okay. But in the book, one of the girls, she's an alumni and she comes back and she pretends to take the younger girls hostage so that they don't tear the house down and stuff like that. The pitch sounded a lot better when I was when I put it on Twitter.
I was gonna, in my head, when you said it was fiction and then you're it's about my sorority, in my head I'm is it a story of revenge of
no
an alternative history of what happened, you dare shut us down, and it's
don't you fucking do it. Yeah,
it's John Wick but with your sorority.
Yeah. It's a comedy. It's funny. It's not dark. It's,
the hostage situation is funny. Okay. It's not okay. Sad.
She doesn't actually take them hostage. That's just how she gets, it snowballs. And here, do you want me to read my pitch to you so that you can get a better understanding? Cause right now I'm talking in circles. 15 years ago, Mariah was kicked out of a sorority she didn't want to be in, but joined with her sister. After her sister's death, the old house is about to be torn down. Refusing to let her sister down again, she fakes a hostage situation to delay the demolition.
I see. I could see where the comedy would come in. Yeah,
it's really not, it's not dark.
It's dark, but, not in that way.
But it's funny. It's a dark comedy. No, it's really not.
You should make it a dark comedy. You should just make it really dark. You should just do alternate. Do the alternate version.
Like a Knives Out version.
Intriguing. Well, that's really cool.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited.
My news is just that my cat brought me a dead animal. So
that's good news.
I don't have anything. He loves you. He does. He's like, I brought this leg from outside. You need to eat. Use it. Here you go. Yeah.
Cute.
What's going on with you, Will? Anything?
I got my second COVID shot last week, so that was fun.
Nice. How'd it feel?
I definitely felt it the next day, but now I'm totally better, so.
Nice. That's
good. And now I'm currently sifting through my grandpa's comic book collection.
Oh, nice. Ooh.
Anything good?
I have a lot of Spider-Man, X-Men, a lot of weird ones that I never heard of.
are there hundreds of them? Brazilian?
It's a Brazilian amount. Yeah, I have two giant those not briefcases, but like those things that you put the end of dressers, or not end of dressers, end of your bed, and people usually sit on it and then like tie their shoes or whatnot.
Trunk?
Trunk. Or... there we go. Yeah. Yeah. I have like two trunks worth of comics that I have to go through.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's a lot. Ooh,
I just found
a. Are you going to sell any of them?
I'm going to grade them. Yeah. I found a grading link. So I'm going to check them out.
The CGC? See which ones.
Yeah. The CGC. Hmm. And then I'm going to see which ones. Yeah. But yeah. But that's about it. So yeah.
He's got a lot of stuff. Oh, sounds like
yeah. That's a lot.
A lot of good stuff.
Yeah. I have a lot. And then you think Muppets Take Manhattan will be costing a lot?
Oh, yeah. For sure. People love the Muppets, right? There's a comic about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
There's actually a few.
Oh, they. Interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a market for that. You know, somebody wants it, I'm sure.
There's one issue. Apparently, it's sealed. Apparently, my grandpa thought it was really expensive. It might be, but it is The Muppets Take Manhattan, I Pronounce You, and it's Kermit and Miss Piggy getting married.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh,
aren't they, like, not together anymore?
I think they divorced in, like, the new show, yeah.
I'm, yeah, like, I'm not up to date with, like, the Muppet news.
Yeah.
TV characters can't even stay together. Like, what's the point?
Mm-hmm. Connor, yeah. Or Murphy, that or was, whoever you
that
are.
That was Murphy. He's having a panic attack because he can't play ball.
Mm.
Can you go play ball somewhere else?
Sister?
He has some naughty comics, too.
Ooh. Oh. Like what? Give me a title.
They're called Sex T. Sex with
sex
T-Y.
Letter T? Oh.
So Sex to S-E-X-T-Y.
Yeah, just like the cover. Let's see. Published in Texas.
There's a lot of boobies.
It ran from 1964 to 1983.
Ah.
So it was a long time that they were publishing.
Yeah.
The sex comic.
These would not be okay these day and age.
Interesting. I have not heard of this. So yeah. That's funny to see. Well, it has like porno comics.
What is this one?
My grandpa has this collection of like jokey, like sex comics.
Whoa. This one is like, this cover is like this lady and mm-hmm. she's like tied up in a chair because someone like broke into her office or something.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's like breaking into a safe and she's like holding a flashlight. He's like making her hold a flashlight with her, like her hoo-ha.
Oh,
when was this?
I feel dirty holding these.
Ew, this one's got like there's like cows doing stuff. I don't like it. This makes me uncomfortable. The cows are too far. I hope your grandpa didn't have that one.
Naked ladies tied up onto the train tracks and it's about to hit her. And then there's an old creepy guy taking off his clothes going towards her.
Ew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, not okay.
Well, no wonder they stopped publishing this.
Welcome to the 80s, kids.
Oh, this was just in the 80s?
Let's see, this was this was published.
60s to the 80s.
This one was published in 1976.
So like, it was like fine for like 20 years, I guess. And then they're like, maybe we'll stop. I don't know. Probably not great. There's not boobs in what we're going to talk about today.
No, I hope not.
No, it's a Disney movie. So, you know, got to keep it clean.
I don't know. This one was kind of dirty a little bit.
Oh, yeah. There were some scenes that some mentions.
I'm like, oh, I did not remember this.
Like strawberry flavored massage oil, and I mean their parents were constantly making out throughout the entire movie.
Yeah, they're just boning all the time in this movie. And the movie is Miracle in Lane 2, everybody. I bet you didn't expect that.
Yeah.
It's a feel-good movie about
porn, about parents porn getting it on.
Parents.
Feel
and then their
movie.
Son also has to, you know, he likes to race soapbox derbies, so that's part of it.
They had to make porn to pay for his medical bills, so, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do. Yeah.
So were the painting jobs not really painting jobs that the dad was doing?
I don't think so. I think he was,
Were those real estate listings not showings? They're not actual showings?
It was like you know, it was a porn where she was like showing somebody a house and then like they would bang, you know.
Oh, okay.
If you'll just come in here to the master bedroom.
The Let dad me show could you get it, the... by the way.
The dad could get it.
He's like a buffer dad, like a fit dad in this movie.
He's from something too. Too bad John's not with us on this one because he always wants to know who can get it in the films.
apparently the dad can get it in this film. Let's see, who is it? Myron? No, he's the dead uncle. Wait. Or maybe it is Myron. I'm looking up who the dad is. Rick Rossovic is the dad.
What else is he from?
He was in Top Gun.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now I know. I remember that scene. He was in the volleyball scene. He and were he and Iceman boning or not? Because they were, you know, partners, pilot and co-pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. I haven't seen Top Gun, so.
Oh.
But I trust you.
My God. Mary.
Yes.
I can't believe it. I can't believe you've done all the times I've mentioned Top Gun. I can't believe you've never said anything.
I just played along. Just like when someone said they liked mint, but then they didn't.
I am open to mint more now, but one night we're going to have to watch Top Gun with John, and it's a completely different experience.
Pen.
Oh, sorry, that wasn't actually a pen.
Oh.
It was okay, but yeah, we're just gonna have to remedy that. So,
okay.
Anywho, now that is solved, so.
We'll get around to it, then. I guess we're watching Top Gun sometime. The dad's from Top Gun.
Cool. All right. That's what we needed to know.
That's why you probably think he can get it. It's because you associate him from
with Top Gun.
Homoerotic volleyball scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And apparently he's been in other stuff, too. He's in The Terminator. He's in a lot of other shows and stuff. So he's very well-versed actor. He's got a career. Yeah.
He is.
And then Miracle in Lane 2, Frankie Muniz is the star. Everybody knows Frankie from Malcolm in the Middle. A number of childhood movies.
And he does not remember a single thing.
Which is crazy.
He doesn't? What?
No, he had a mini stroke. I forgot when, but that mini stroke caused him to have memory loss. So he, in interviews, he said he honestly does not remember anything from Malcolm in the Middle. And whatever he filmed during that time.
That's sad. I did not know that.
See, because I looked, because you mentioned it last time and I was, I didn't know that. And so I looked it up and it said, it says he suffered 9 concussions in his life. And the first one he had was when he was 7, when he was playing soccer. And then in 2012, he had a mini stroke. And then he's had a second one a year later. So that's all contributing to like his memory loss.
Dang.
That is really sad.
Yeah, that is super sad. That's crazy too. It's like that is a huge chunk of his life, especially like what he's known for. So that's really interesting that he doesn't really have any recollection about that.
Yeah.
So he probably doesn't remember filming this movie, which is interesting. And then who else? The brother Patrick Lewis is in this movie, which I forgot he was in, but he's been in. He's in Brink. He's in So Weird. Mm-hmm. He's in.
I forgot he was in Brink.
Yeah, it took me a second.
How could you forget?
Look him up. I was like, he looks
familiar.
He was
not. Yeah, he was not the main character in Brink. I mean, I kind of remember him now, but like you know, we all know who I was focused on in Brink.
Yeah, if it wasn't Val, Bridget doesn't care.
Exactly, I don't care. Get out of here with your short hair.
But anyway, Miracle in Lane 2 is the DCOM that we're talking about today. It came out in the year 2000. And as mentioned before, Frankie Muniz is the star of the movie. He plays Justin Yoder, who is a real person. So this is a real story that the Disney Channel did. And he was the first person with a disability to compete in the All-American Soapbox Derby. I did not know what soapbox was when I was younger. So this was really interesting to revisit. Did you guys watch this when it first came out? Did you like it? I did.
I remembered liking it back then.
I never watched it until last night.
Oh, nice.
I don't even really remember it.
From last night?
No. From like 20 years ago. No, I remember watching it last night.
I don't know. I spaced out for part of the movie because my cat brought me a severed leg. So it's during a montage, I think. So, no, it's today.
Okay.
But yeah. And I had watched it from way back when, so I kind of remember bits and pieces. It's a little bit more sad than I kind of remember, but it was also more funny than I remember. So it's nice to see it again. And I also did not take notes during this movie, so you know, we'll see where we go.
Just free.
See
where the wind takes us.
Stream of consciousness. Yeah.
Do it live.
Frankie Muniz plays Justin Yoder. So he is a 12-year-old. So, you know, typical. This just happened to be real life example, but he's, you know, 12. So Disney likes the 12 to 14 age to, except in Brink, they were a little bit older. Mm-hmm. I feel like. But he was born with spina bifida, and so he uses a wheelchair in his life, and it's kind of just the story of how he starts to kind of, you know, become more a little bit more independent and how he gets into soapbox racing. He has an older brother named Seth, who's kind of like the golden child. I do not have any older siblings to relate to this, and neither does Will, like Bridget had said before. So but his brother is really athletic and he excels in school. He plays baseball and like soccer and has 50 million trophies, and Justin really looks up to him and, you know, enjoys watching his brother play sports and stuff, and so he really kind of idolizes his brother. And then his mom is a realtor, I guess. And then his dad is a painter and professor, I guess. So apparently that's how they pay for the medical bills. But, you know, there's some stuff going on. Maybe they're taking an alternative route. Like, is he a professor? Really? Mm-hmm. Definitely. Where's your diploma? Let me see it.
Teach me a few things.
Yeah, I think everybody knows about that, right? Oh, the realtor. Let me show you the house. The professor. I need you to come in during office hours to talk about your paper.
Can you use some editing?
He was a professor.
Yeah, it said he taught college classes, and then
he did painting.
He did both. He had to work two jobs.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I did miss that part. So apparently, I don't remember it.
Yeah, because one scene during the dinner, Seth is like, "Dad, didn't they just give your department a huge research grant to do testing on something?" And it was just really. I don't know, very scientific. So yeah, he's college pro and the professor in the daytime, painter at nighttime.
I gotcha.
You know how it works.
Mm-hmm. I don't. I mean, I do, but I don't.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Of course. And so Justin talks about how like supportive his family is and how awesome he is, or how awesome they are. And then he also talks to God sometimes. So God in this movie takes the form of a NASCAR, or I guess just race car driver named Bobby Wade. And I guess this isn't a real driver, right? I'm assuming it's just like a fictional driver for the movie.
Sounds like one, though. I mean, Bobby Wade, like, I could totally hear that being like a NASCAR guy's name. I don't know why, but.
Okay.
It's not.
I know nothing about NASCAR. I just know that joke that it's like, turn left! Turn left again!
Just four left turns.
Just over and over again. So Justin idolizes this race car driver, and so when he kind of has these moments of self-reflection and kind of like internal monologue and whatnot, this is who God is to him. And actually, it's kind of funny. There's a lot of good acting in this movie. I think it's pretty solid and some pretty funny bits. So I think it's good. It's kind of like when Alanis Morissette is God in Dogma. Except in this movie, it's a NASCAR driver.
Ring.
Fun fact. and so it kind of shows the family dynamic. Justin, every now and then, he's had like 24 major surgeries, I think, by the time he's 12. He has, you know, a lot to deal with in his life. And he wants more than anything to get a trophy, to just be good at something and excel at something because of his brother's achievements. And so it kind of shows, I think, at the beginning, like, you know, his brother is a star soccer player. And so he goes to all his brother's games and cheers him on with his mom. And the dad is he's not an absent dad. He's not like a bad dad. But he misses his son's sports. He misses all the sports because he's busy filming pornos. there's kind of like some tension there because his son Seth's always like, can you come to my game? Can you come to my soccer game? And he's like, yeah, totally. You can't. I have to work. So
I have to go get filmed having sex really quick.
I just really can't. I'm just so busy later. So busy. And so it kind of shows Justin at his brother's games. Hold on, dudes. You can edit this. I'm still here. Just hold on. Hold on for one more day.
We're holding on.
I actually can't remember what happened in the movie at the beginning, so I'm looking it up. I just watched it, like, recently, like this afternoon, like before. Just go ahead and...
you call me baby. Something.
Remember that song?
Yeah, Spin Doctors.
Isn't that the doo-doo
story of my life, man? Song.
What was that?
Isn't that doo 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 song?
Oh no, different song.
Oh
yeah, talking about the Spin Doctors, right?
Yes, I was. I think that's Third Eye Blind. That you were humming.
You're blind.
I mean, I am visually impaired, but I'm not blind. I have to wear glasses, but you know. Not quite. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, literally the beginning of the movie. Okay. So it is just kind of introduction. Oh, I remember now. Okay. So the introduction in the movie is... It explains who Justin's family members are, kind of what their deal is. And actually, someone has just died in their family. I forgot about this, but they have to go to a funeral for their great uncle, Morty, or something. I forgot his name. But I don't think there's ever been like a funeral in a Disney movie before, or at least like a DCOM.
Yeah.
So this actually movie kind of very much addresses like death and the afterlife and kind of, you know, everything like that. So it's very deep kind of, because Justin, he talks about how he, you know, it's something that he's very used to, with the potential of, you know, him having to have an operation or something happening. You know, he could die. So it's something that he thinks about a lot. And it's he talks about it, though, in like a funny way in this movie a little bit. But his uncle has died. And so they're getting ready for a funeral. And his older brother, Seth, talks his dad into letting him stay home. And he thinks it's really unfair that he has to go to the funeral for this guy he has never met before. And so it shows him at the funeral, and he talks about how everybody around him is crying and they're really upset because during the eulogy, the eugoogly, they're talking about how amazing his great uncle was. He was like, he was a veterinarian. He was a doctor. He had the cure for cancer, but then was tragically assassinated before he could, you know, publish his research. And then he saved 8 puppies from a burning building. And just like, he's done so much in his life. And Justin kind of has a fantasy moment, which happens a lot in this movie, which is kind of funny. But he's wondering what people would say about him if he had died. And so his eulogy version is just the guy going, "Did you know he was 12 years old? Did you know he was a boy? Did you know that he had brown eyes?" And Justin is kind of in his own fantasy, like, "What the fuck, dude? Like, don't you have anything to say about me?" And it transitions to, he goes, "Oh yeah, Justin used a wheelchair." And then he just starts talking about all the specs of the wheelchair, like how well it's built and stuff. And everybody in Justin's fantasy is like, "Yeah, wow, amazing.
Like, wow, amazing.
wow, amazing." They care about the chair, this fantasy, more than him. And so he yells out, "Hey, what about me?" But he yells it out loud, like not in his head. He actually yells it during the funeral, which I thought was really funny because I forgot that had happened. So yeah, in the middle of his dead uncle's funeral, he just yells out, "Hey, what about me? Or what about me?" And everybody gives him, you know, a look, because that's kind of, that's not normal. That's not a normal thing to say during a funeral. I've certainly never said it during a funeral, so.
What about me?
I know it's all about the person that just died, but.
Pay attention.
So, that's kind of a funny part of the movie. And it kind of, I think, kind of starts off like the point of this movie kind of really addressing death and how he kind of thinks of death and how he really wants to be known for something and be like remembered for being good at something. Because in his own fantasy, he's like, "What can anybody ever say about me?" You know, he doesn't think that he has much going for him. Because his brother is just kind of over, it looks like he's over kind of shining him because of all his accomplishments and stuff. So it goes into his brother's, they go to his brother's soccer match, and he's like, "The best thing about, you know, or the, if you can't play soccer, the next best thing is being the star player's brother." Because everybody like high fives him. He's like kind of part of the team, you know. And he's talking about how his brother will take him on like a victory lap around the field every time his team wins. And so he's like, his brother makes him a part of kind of his life. But then you kind of see there is a girl, his brother's girlfriend, a friend who's a girl. I don't know.
That you like never see ever again.
Yeah. She's in the movie for like maybe 2 minutes total, like he kills across her. The movie.
Little brother kills her.
He's like, he's so jealous. He's like, "You can't have my brother. It's my brother." But they're brothers.
They're brothers.
But, they are brothers. And so she kind of takes his attention a little bit from Justin, because she was in the movie just for a hot second earlier. They were playing basketball in their driveway, and now she shows up at the soccer match. So after the match, Justin's like waiting for his brother to take him on the victory lap because they won and he got his brother got the MVP award. And so this girl comes up to him, and essentially Seth goes off with her, and Justin's kind of like, what the fuck? What the hell? And I think this movie, too, kind of shows kind of the, you know, when you have like a physical disability, or if you utilize something like a wheelchair to help you, it kind of shows a little bit just like everyday things maybe you wouldn't think about. Because when his brother's getting his MVP trophy, you know, everybody's like standing up and cheering for him, but they stand up in front of Justin and are in his way. And so Justin has to maneuver around them. So it's just kind of like, I think, and the movie does a good job of kind of illustrating and kind of showing those kind of small aspects maybe you don't realize people have to deal with. So I think that's kind of a little thing, because that does happen in the movie. And then Justin's pissed at this girl because his brother left with her. And now he's like, I hate you, Janet. I don't know. That's not her name, but. Then damn the next it, day, damn it, Janet. Her name's going to be Bernice, actually. I've decided. God damn it, Bernice. So the next day, the family's hanging out. They're eating breakfast. Justin's kind of, you know, that night he is looking at his brother's new trophy and he's like, why can't I have something like this? I want to be a part of something. So they're eating breakfast the next day. Justin's kind of thinking about everything that's happening, what he's thinking, and he says he has a headache. And so having a headache in this family is very bad, because Justin's part of Justin's medical problems is that there is fluid that builds up in his brain and it needs to be drained. And so if that doesn't happen, then the pressure builds up, he gets a headache, he could die. And so he says he has a headache, but not like a I'm gonna die headache. It's just a regular headache. But his family, they're really on top of it. They have like to-go bags, they have like luggage ready, medication. They start like panicking. It's like, we're gonna take you to the hospital. And Justin's like, no, it's not that kind of headache, you know, calm down, I don't need to go, I'm not gonna die right now. And so it kind of just shows kind of what they have to do and be aware of every day. And so it was almost, it kind of reminded me of like when women are about to give birth and they have like the, do you have your car keys? Do you have like your luggage? Do you have like, at least of what I've seen in the movies. I mean, I don't have really real life experience with this, but I imagine it's like, you know, you have to have all this stuff prepped. You have to call the hospital, right? I don't know. Kind of remind me of those scenes.
Yeah, they like call the, they're trying to call the hospital. And, like, they have like a hospital bed or bag for him. And like, they're like throwing it on him and shit. Is that what you're asking? Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then, yeah. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it. And then he's like, I'm not dying. And then I don't remember what happens after that.
I think that it just goes to, it's like, oh, he's fine for now. And yeah. So he's, cause he's been thinking about what he wants to do. Like, I want to do sports. I love sports.
Sports.
So, sports, go sports. Touchdown. That's what his mom's like, actually. Reminds me of Will, which is like, hit the home run. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Do the
touchdown. I was like, she was like, Will. When he made a touchdown in softball and or something like that. Or T-ball. Touchdown in T-ball. And
he's like, no, it's a home run. And she's like, what? He's like, no, it's a home run. And she goes, yeah, well, tell him about it. Whatever.
Oh, and then she's talking about sports. They bring up Jackie Robinson. And she was like, I'm sure if Jackie Robinson had been around today, she would have, I can't remember, but she calls Jackie Robinson she.
Yeah.
That also reminded me of that scene in Clueless where Christian is like, do you like Billie Holiday? And Cher goes, I love him. It's very much the same vibe, I feel.
Very much, yeah.
But yes, the mom is very supportive, but she just does not know sports. But
bless Justin, her heart.
Yeah, bless her heart. but Justin's been thinking real hard about the sports he wants to do. That's why he's getting these headaches, because he's thinking. And it shows his brother doing the newspaper delivery with his girlfriend, I guess, and some other people, I don't know. And the person tries to throw, his friend who's doing the delivery tries to throw the paper, and he misses, and he hits a tree, and the paper explodes, papers go everywhere, and so they're trying to clean some shit up. And this flyer for baseball flies into Justin's hands, and Justin is like, wow, I could do this. Why not? And he goes into a fantasy of what it would be like if he was like a star baseball player, which it like he defies the laws of physics, essentially, is what he says, even in the fantasy, because the ball gets hit into the outfield and he's going to get it. And the ball just stops in midair. And it's funny because the commenter in his fantasy is like, wow, this is amazing. What's going on? Oh, he caught it. Amazing. And so Justin has the idea. He wants to play baseball. And so that night at dinner, he is trying to butter up his parents, essentially, because his mom, I guess, gets a disgusting gas station dinner, which nobody likes, except he is pretending to like it. Or maybe he does like it. I don't know. But he wants to ask them to play baseball. And then he has another fantasy, which is this is the Jackie Robinson scene. Because in his fantasy, his parents are, everybody's dressed like a judge. And essentially, he's on trial to whether or not he gets to play baseball. And, you know, there's a scene where his judge mom is sticking up for him, like, you know, he should be able to play if he wants to, and, you know, it's not fair that he wouldn't get to, and if Jackie Robinson, yeah, were around now, she would be a great player in her wheelchair. Yeah. Which was really funny. And so his fantasy ends, and then they show them going to the baseball, I guess, signups, and they won't let him sign up because the coach is like, well, what if he gets hurt? What if something happens? And Justin's mom, he calls her like a mama grizzly, which is sometimes funny during the movie because it shows like actual clip. It shows a quick clip of like an actual grizzly bear when she gets all really, you know, defensive of her son. And so she's going like, well, what if one of the other kids got hurt? Like, what's the big deal if my son gets hurt? And, you know, kind of showing why it's unfair kind of for him to sign up. And so they're talking about it. And this is the football touchdown scene also, because the coach is like, well, how's he going to do the bases? How is he going to do this? And so she goes, tell him how you hit that touchdown in Pee Wee. And he goes, home run. And so she goes, well, whatever, home run. Tell him about it. And so Justin's going to tell him about it. And the coach leans in to listen. And Justin pukes all over his face. He like projectile vomits, literally, all over his face. Because on the way to the thing, it shows him drinking a blue slushie. And so it's pretty disgusting, honestly. I would throw up so much if someone threw up in my face. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah.
So the signups didn't go well, and it shows, you know, and on the car ride home, Justin's mom and his brother are kind of talking about him like he's not in the car, and they're just, his brother's like talking shit about him a lot, which I feel bad, but he's like, if he's not, you know, peeing his pants or throwing up in someone's face, it's some other issue, like, I don't, like, you know, he's not normal, and we're not a normal family, and so he's venting in a way, but Justin's like, I'm not dead, you know, I can hear you. Can you hear you talking about me? You're literally a foot away. So it kind of shows some tension there, some sibling tension, and how his brother is essentially like, you know, you can't be normal, okay? And you're not allowed to come to my games anymore, which is kind of messed up. So that scene happens, and then Justin tries to think of other things that he could win, and he tries to sign up for chess, and he's been practicing for 3 days because he wants a trophy, and then he lies about his age to get into a younger age bracket, and then he gets beat by like an 8-year-old, and he gets really pissed about it.
Wasn't he was like, she's like, are you about 10? He's like, yeah, about 10.
Yeah. So yeah, Vic is the neighbor that nobody really likes. And so he's like, I'll help you out if you give me your trophy. And so he's like, I don't need you. And so he essentially takes the collection box from Vic. And then once he, you know, the second he puts it on his lap, everybody starts giving him dollars, like for the thing, like, nice car, you know, way to go. And so Vic's like, I don't need you. And so he starts to leave. He's like, all right, fine. And so Vic goes, wait. And then 2 seconds later, it shows Justin really selling the car, like the specs and how awesome it is. And people are just like donating left and right.
And then he whispers to them, like, I'm going to die tomorrow. So.
Yeah, if you don't give me your vote, I'm probably gonna die tomorrow. And guess what? Guess who wins a car show? It's Vic. And Justin actually sees his doctor at the car show, and his brother has been actually going to doctor's appointments. It was kind of mentioned in the movie, and so he goes, "How is my brother?" And she goes, "I don't know, I haven't seen him." And so Justin thinks it's really weird because that's their, you know, primary doctor. But his brother didn't go to see her, so where did he go? And so so he's like, yo, Vic, bring me my trophy later, or else.
Where my trophy at?
Bro, pop where my trophy knees. At?
I'm gonna kill you. And so
they wouldn't blame it on the kid with a wheelchair with murder. So
yeah, nobody would suspect. And so the next day, he kind of is trying to snoop around and find out where his brother is going. Because it's like, okay, he's not going to our doctor. And so he snoops around his parents' bedroom to see if he can find like an appointment slip or some kind of note to see like what kind of doctor he's going, where he's been, his brother's been going. So while he's snooping, okay, I did not remember this from when I was little. But he finds strawberry flavored or scented like, massage gel.
This.
And I was like, they put this in this movie? Like, what?
Yeah.
And he's looking in the drawer and it's like, why would they need this? I don't even want to know. And yeah.
Even he's like, ew. Like, he's 12 and he's pretty sure he knows what that's about.
Yeah, and so he's like, ew, whatever. And so he puts it back in the drawer. But when that happened, I was like, what the fuck? And so he's snooping, and then he finds his parents' appointment book, and so he finds the doctor. The doctor's number in there, so he calls and pretends like he's doing a report for school to find out what kind of doctor it is. And then whatever he finds out, he says it's very interesting. So he kind of keeps it away, keeps it tucked in for a rainy day. And so some other stuff happens. I think they just run, just to show some scenes of them running errands and stuff. And so Vic tries to, while they're out, Vic stops by and it's like, I need to give your brother this box, this mysterious box. And Seth is like, okay, well, he's not home. And so he drives off and Seth is like, well, that was kind of weird. And so Justin gets home from running errands with his mom, and his brother says he stopped by, so he goes looking for Vic, and Vic is not anywhere to be found, and so Justin goes to the back of Vic's house, and the garage is open, where his perfectly immaculate vintage Corvette is parked, and he thinks he sees the trophy on a shelf in the garage, because the box says something about metal. It's like metal inside, and Justin is like, trophies are made of metal. That must be it. Couldn't be anything else. Literally nothing else in this garage. And so he tries to get it down, and in the process, he knocks over the whole shelf, which happens to be just, you know, in front of the car, so it crashes onto the car, and then it also hits the handbrake or whatever it is that the car's on.
The lift handle,
yeah. And so the car rolls backwards into a bunch of garbage and stuff. And so, you know, he damaged this guy's vintage car, which kind of sucks. It was an accident, but, you know, and then there's another fantasy scene, you know, where it's essentially his parents essentially being the judges again, and him thinking he's going to be tortured to death and burned at the stake for what he did. And that does not happen in the movie, okay? But he essentially has to work off the damage that he did to the car with Vic. So essentially he does errands for him, kind of like cleaning stuff up. And Vic's like, I need you to do this around here and this. And there's a mysterious shed on Vic's property that's locked. And Justin's like, well, what's in there? And then Vic is like, don't go in there. What? Don't go in there.
You.
Fucking kill,
I'll kill you.
Don't go in there. Don't ask.
Which would you, so, I mean, would you blame him? Like, if some little asshole was snooping around your shit. Like,
to kill him?
Not to. No, I wouldn't kill him. I'd be pissed. I mean, I know I would not kill him. I want to make that perfectly clear. Not kill him.
I would not kill him. I would be mad. I would be mad. But yeah. I feel like he actually handles it very well. He's like, you know, he's mad about it, but he's like, fine, you can work, you know, work around the house and stuff. And so the mysterious shed is planted for later reference. And then Justin starts, you know, doing the errands for him. And then it cuts to, I think, a scene with his parents are kind of talking about, you know, trying to make ends meet. His mom's going to go show a house in quotes late at night. She has who has a late at night real estate showing?
Who goes to look at a house at 7 o'clock at night? Ridiculous.
Yeah, really. That's the main mystery of this.
Yeah, I don't know anybody, any real estate agents out there, if this is, you know, typical, you know, but I would think it would not be, but whatever.
Yeah, so, you know, it kind of shows some more work stuff with his parents. And then Justin tries to tell his brother about the mysterious shed. And he has a debate with God, the NASCAR driver, about whether or not he should. Yeah. About whether he should, like, go see the shed and kind of what he should do. And so the next day, he's doing work for Vic. And Vic is like, I brought you a snack. It's really hot outside. And I guess they were just really stale cookies. And so they kind of have like a little heart to heart a little bit.
Brought you a snack. It's me.
It's me.
I'm Vic. The snack.
Could Vic get it?
Yeah.
not with his first attitude.
Yeah, second attitude, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Redeemed you
mean,
Vic.
You mean you're not into redeemed that, Vic. You're not into that broody attitude, Bridget?
I mean, you know, I typically am. It just depends. Connor, shut your goddamn mouth, I swear to God. It just depends, you know. I mean, I like assholes, but I don't like assholes, you know what I mean? Like, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm an Vic asshole, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you are.
But I like that kind of asshole. Like, I don't like douchebags, you know? But then once you get to know Vic, you're just like, he's just a very emotional guy, you know? He's a good guy with a good heart. And you understand why, you know, he's been so surly. So.
Yeah. Because it's just like, you know, I think it shows, like, Vic, you think he's the crotchety old man, but he's not. He's just put some walls around himself to protect him from love. He just needs friends. So Vic and Justin kind of talk a little bit. Vic's like, I thought you would be full of excuses. It's really great you're a hard worker. And they kind of talk about, you know, Justin's life and if... Justin tells him about all the surgeries and stuff he's had to have, and Vic asks him if he's scared to die or if it's like if it's scary for him. And Justin kind of like plays it off a little bit, like kind of funny. you know, it's like not a big deal. So he's a really good kind of attitude about that. And so Vic is, they get done with their kind of little heart to heart. And so Vic's like, I have to run some errands. I'm going to be gone for a long time. Will you be here fine by yourself? Not like I was thinking about you going into that shed I told you not to go into. But he's like, yeah, totally. I won't go into the shed. And so Vic leaves. And then Justin's like, no, I'm going to go into the shed. So that's what he does. And so he goes into the shed and he sees a bunch of like old trophies through the window. So he's like, well, I got to go check this shit out. So he goes in and there's just like trophies everywhere. Just like more than his brothers. And then he looks around and he sees this race car and there's like old photos of this little girl and this woman. And then he looks around some more and he sees a projector. And so he turns it on and there's some home movies and it's of this little girl. And Justin's kind of watching the film, shows her like racing. And then Vic comes in and is like, what the fuck did I tell you about the shed? So there were no bodies in there. He wasn't a murderer. It was just trophies. And so Vic's upset, understandably. And so he tells Justin to get the fuck out. And then it shows later at dinner, Justin's trying to get his family to ask him about his day. And so he's like, why don't we all share about anything weird that happened today? And his family, his dad's telling him about his college grant or whatever, his department. And then Justin blurts out, I want a soapbox race. Like, I saw this thing about soapbox racing and it's the coolest thing. And if you let me do it, I won't ask you for anything ever again. So he's really begging his parents because this is something that he can do. And his parents are essentially like, yeah, that's fine. Actually, that's totally fine. We'll just have to do some research, make sure it's safe. And, you know, it should be good. It should be fine. And so it's they fine. Ask where
it's fine.
And so they're like, where'd you hear about this? And he's like, yeah, Vic told me about it, sort of. I wasn't snooping around in his possessions or anything. And so his parents are like, maybe we should ask Vic about it. And Justin is kind of trying to persuade them not to do it because, you know, Vic's not happy right now. And so they're like, okay, we'll research this later. And so this is also the scene, like, they leave and they tell their kids to do the dishes. And then they're, like, going upstairs and the mom's like, you know what? I wasn't in the mood for peach pie anyway. I'm in the mood for strawberries. And the dad's like, ooh, strawberries, good. And I'm like, ew! I did not catch this in the original viewing. I think it went over my head when I was younger, honestly. And so Seth goes, why would they keep strawberries in the bedroom? And Justin goes,
question.
Don't even think about it. You don't want to know. So his parents go bang upstairs, essentially, while the kids do dishes. Which is hilarious, just knowing that they put that in this movie. Let's see what happens after that. Oh, yeah. The next day, Justin's mom's baking cookies. And so Justin is...
Yeah, she is.
She's baking cookies. She's got a hot oven on. And Justin...
Strawberry cookies.
You know what I love? Strawberry cookies. And then his dad comes in and eats the cookies. I'm like, strawberry. Totally what happened.
Motorboats the cookies.
And then Justin's like, I'm leaving. Goodbye. And well,
Vic, you need my help? Okay. I'm coming.
Well, I think I hear Vic. I hear Vic calling about soapbox. Bye. I think I have to go die outside. Excuse me. Goodbye. So he leaves and takes Vic's cookies because he wants to apologize for snooping around. And Vic is very standoffish at first. because Justin asks him to teach him about Soapbox, and he goes, hell no.
And fuck then, yourself.
Go fuck yourself, Justin. And he's very standoffish, but then once Justin's leaving, he kind of softens a bit from his time spent with Justin, kind of learning about him and his family. So he tells him to leave the cookies. And so it's like, oh, yes, he's going to break down and help me. And he does. So the next day, Vic takes Justin and his brother and his dad to a local Soapbox derby race competition, whatever it's called. And so he kind of shows them around, tells them, you know, what like the rules are, how everybody, you know, races, what you are supposed to do with like your car because you have like weight limitations, and you know, he's kind of showing them the ropes. And Justin's really excited, and his dad's actually really excited, and Seth kind of leans over to his dad and is like, these guys are a bunch of losers, right? This sucks. This is like a lame ass sport. And so his dad's like, what are you talking about? This is great. And Seth kind of looks like, what? Is it? And so Seth is like kind of against this. But Justin and his dad is like, yeah, I'm all for it. And then Justin asks Vic to keep helping them, and Vic is going, he's telling him that he's going to not do that because it's personal and butt out of my life, and I don't need friends, and I don't want your love, and I don't want your cookies, and I don't want anything to do with you. And that's how that scene goes.
exactly.
He's very secretive about his past, and you can tell that it's kind of, you know, not pleasant for him to talk about it. And so he asked Justin to just drop it and just let him be. And Justin doesn't know why he's being kind of like so standoffish. And so then it shows Justin and his dad building his racer in the garage, and Vic comes up and is like, I was just returning these cookie tins. If you want to, and then Justin is like, if you want to stay and help, you know, you totally can. Not saying you have to. And so Vic's like, no, I have to go run some errands. And then he just kind of like stays and watches for a second and is like, you're fucking up this car. You guys don't know anything about building anything. And so he actually stays and helps them. And Seth rolls up and sees them all working together in the garage, and Seth's unhappy because his dad suddenly has free time. He doesn't have to shoot all these pornos anymore. And he's helping Justin build his race car. And Seth is like, he never came to any of my games. Why does he, you know, suddenly have all this time? And his mom kind of explains, like, you've been winning all this stuff forever. This is your brother's chance to do something that he can, you know, have fun with. And so the next day, Seth has a super big championship baseball game, and his dad promises that he'll go to the game, he'll make it. And he gets caught up working on Justin's car because he has to design a way for Justin to stop, because a lot of the other cars use foot pedals. But then when he's leaving to go to the game, he has a handbrake in his car, you know, that he releases, and he's like, this is it. This is how you do it. And so him and Vic make the handbrake, but then he gets so caught up in what he's doing, he misses the game he promised he'd go to. And so he drives to the field, you know, the game's over, it's dark, nobody's there. So he comes back home, and his wife tells him, you know, you should probably go tell him why you didn't come to the game. P.S. He pitched a no-hitter. So his dad,
whatever
finds
that
Seth
means.
What is this sports terminology? No hitter. He hit nobody. He didn't punch anybody at this game. No hitting at all. I don't know if you actually do know what a no hitter is.
Isn't it like where it's nothing but strikeouts?
Yeah, essentially. Basically, nobody gets on base. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's actually really good, too. It's really rare. So his dad fucked up, and he knows it. So He goes into the garage because Seth is sitting there. I kind of like expected the garage to be on fire. Like, he has so much animosity towards his dad missing his game for building this car. It's just like the whole house is on fire. He turns into an arsonist. But surprise, the garage actually is not on fire. And so his dad's trying to explain to him, kind of like, I always wanted kids who were interested in what I like to do as a kid. And when your brother was born, we had to, you know, we had to change our plans. And like, if he says, if I couldn't, you know, cheer for both of my sons, you know, doing what they loved, I wouldn't cheer for any of them. And Seth is like, this is bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not let them hit them. I did not. And then he goes, you missed my games because of Justin. So it's kind of like, you know, he's having a lot of feelings towards this. I was just like, I was watching this and I was like, all these people just need to go to family therapy. They just need to talk about their problems.
Yeah.
So Seth is really pissed. And the next day, Justin, his parents, and then Vic are kind of doing like a test run of the car on a regular street. And Justin's trying to steer, and he doesn't do a great job, and he crashes into a mailbox, and then he hits a tree. And his parents are like, oh my gosh, he's so hurt. Like, oh, like, what's going on? And then Vic looks at the car and he says that the brake lines are crisscrossed. So when you turn left, it goes right. When you turn right, it goes left. And so they're wondering how that could have happened. And then Justin goes and accuses his brother in front of all his friends that he sabotaged his race car. And they get into a big fight. And it's like, you did this because you're jealous that dad helped me build it. And he doesn't love you. And you're the worst. And you're afraid that I'm going to be better than you. And then Seth goes, they're only helping you because they feel sorry for you and like you're a burden. And they're essentially just like screaming all this tension they have at each other. And Justin goes, at least I'm not crazy. And then Seth goes, I'm not crazy. And so you find out that the doctor that Seth was seeing, the mysterious one, is actually, he's seeing a psychiatrist. And Seth is like, how dare you? And his friends are like, oh, ooh. And Seth is like, he gets up and he's gonna like strangle his brother. And he says, well, just once, I wish I could just beat the fuck out of you. Like a normal sibling, I'm just gonna beat the shit out of you. And then essentially Seth just like lets all his like inner thoughts go. He's like, we can't go on normal family vacations because of you. We're always broke because of your medical bills. Like, you know what? Like, he's like, I go to therapy because I'm like sick of, you know, having to deal with all this and all our problems because of you and all this hassle. And then his brother says, I hate you and I wish you were dead. Literally, that's what he says. And so that's not a fun, you know, argument to have with anybody. And so Justin goes and talks to race car driver God, goes and sees him in his shop. And lo and behold, he goes, and God's not there. He took a break. He went to Hawaii. So he doesn't actually get to talk to God. So the next day, Justin is doing his first race and he's really scared and he's like, oh God, I'm gonna crash. This was a terrible mistake. What am I doing? And he's like, oh God, oh God. And then he's panicking in the middle of the race. And then actually he's like, actually, that was pretty cool. It was fun, because you see him stop freaking out. And then it shows his brother there, like, big whoop, fuck you.
You're still alive.
Oh, you're still alive? And so I think there's a racing montage, and this is the part where Goose brought me that severed leg, so I kind of missed a little bit. But it just shows him racing, doing good, you know, and his brother's still kind of pissed. And let's see, what else? More racing stuff. I think his parents talk about if this is a good idea or not. Like, should we keep, like, let him keep doing it? And I think it's the regional championship, or I don't know, the quarterfinals or something. And Justin is not feeling too hot. He's has a headache, but not like a fine headache, like the I'm gonna die headache. And he doesn't tell anybody because he wants to win a trophy. And Vic and his dad just think he's really focused. Like, yeah, trophy. We're going to get the trophy. And so he does his race. And even though he says it feels like his head's going to explode. And so they're like, we'll see you at the bottom. And so he starts to, when he's going downhill, he starts to kind of not hallucinate, but his vision goes very blurry. He can't see very well. He passes out like right at the bottom because he is in his lane. He crisscrosses over to the other person's lane, like goes through a barrier, and it looks like really violent, actually, this wreck. It looked like his little body was just gonna fling out of that race car.
Yeah, it did.
I just heard.
Because I'm just like,
what you say?
What you say? Because it's like a super wasted.
Goes across the screen.
So, yeah, and so I was also wondering too. I'm like, why didn't they have like the little barriers like by that curb that he flew up on? They didn't do a very good job, you know, blocking off the safety of this part. But they call an ambulance and they take Justin to the hospital to have a surgery, and they don't understand why Justin wouldn't tell them about, you know, his headache. And Justin sees God and he's like, I died. I bit the big one. You know, I went to the big race car stadium in the sky. And he's like, you're not dead. It's me, Ricky Bobby.
Jessica.
It's me, Jessica. I'm in here. So it's not actually God. It's actually Ricky Bobby. I think his name is maybe Bobby. Whatever. I forgot what his name
is. Bobby Wade.
Oh, yeah. Ricky Bobby Wade. And Justin's like, how did you find me? How did you know I was here? And Vic actually used to be a mechanic on his car back in the day. And so Ricky Bobby and Justin kind of like have a heart to heart. And it's like, you know, I'm going to give you some racing advice. And then he takes his bedpan. Ricky Bobby takes his Justin's bedpan for good luck. And
which
then
is the
he
weirdest
tells,
fucking thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. Like, all right,
great.
Are you gonna use this? I'm just gonna use it. I'm gonna use it in the car when I'm racing, you know. And so while Justin's at the hospital, the race car people call Justin's house, and a partial message is left, but then his brother Seth answers the phone, and you hear him talking a little bit, but you don't find out what it exactly says until a bit later. But then Justin comes home, and after he tells his family, Ricky Bobby, you know, spoke to him, and they're like, are you sure you're okay? Like, you've been acting really weird, and if we keep racing, you know, safety first, don't, you know, if your head's gonna explode and you're gonna die, please, like, tell us. So they make a deal to do that, and they go home, and Seth, you know, welcomes his brother home, because he's, you know, very, when the crash happened, you know, he's very scared and worried for his brother. And his dad's going to presses the answering machine button, because that partial message was there, and it's like, hey, this is Dale Earnhardt Jr. from the Soapbox Association something. And he's like, oh, sweet, a message. And Seth goes, no, they were just wishing Justin well. And so his dad wants to let the message play so Justin can hear. And then Seth stops him and says, actually, the kid that beat Justin had to drop out and they want Justin to take his place. And so they're all really excited that Justin gets to go to nationals. And then Seth is like, what the fuck is wrong with all of you?
Basically.
Yeah, he's like, are you all dense? Are you really that
y'all
stupid?
Coked out? What the fuck is wrong?
And so he storms upstairs and his dad goes, he tells everybody, you know, I'll go talk to him. So he goes into Seth's room and is like, what the fuck is going on with you? Like, why are you acting like this? And Seth doesn't want to talk about why he's acting the way he is. And his dad goes, well, we have to talk about it because we can't, you know, you can't keep freaking out and like yelling at Justin and being upset about this. And he's like, why can't you let Justin have, you know, this one thing for him? You know, he's having fun. And then Seth goes, well, fine, you let him do it and then he'll crash again. And so it just kind of turns out that Seth is being a dick because he's just really worried about his brother. And he's just worried that he's going to have an accident or every time, you know, he's very worried he'll never see his brother again when he goes to the hospital because everything is just so scary. Like, he has to go have all these operations all the time. So he's actually just very protective in his own way, but it's just coming across as like jealousy, kind of. Yeah, and being a dick and being unsupportive, but he just wants to keep Justin in a bubble, you know, like everything is so unsafe for him all the time. And so his dad talks to him about it. And they kind of have a heart to heart, you know, like, we're all worried about Justin, but, you know, he has to do what he loves. This is his chance to finally, you know, be excited about something. And so the next day they start to go to nationals and Vic rolls up in his sweet ass car that's totally not fucked up anymore. And they drive to wherever the fuck they're going, Ohio or something. I'd forget. And it's Justin and Vic in the convertible. And this lady, there's some unsafe driving practices going on, but they're in the convertible. And this lady in this other convertible rolls up beside them, is like, hey.
She pulls her top off.
Yeah. She just like takes her hand off the wheel, takes her top off. It's like that scene in like Vacation. With like,
oh yeah,
Clark and that lady, yeah. that's what happens. They just, you know, swerve off the road. But Vic is like having so much fun, you know, taking the car out and whoa, yeah, he was having fun. You're right. And so Justin is like, why didn't you do this before? And Vic is just kind of telling Justin, like, you essentially like opened up my heart again. I'm not, you know, lonely anymore. I've made friends with your parents and stuff. And so you find out that Vic has been so like, he hates kids, is essentially like his rumor, like what he's known for around the neighborhood. And he's not friendly because you find out that his daughter had died in a swimming accident a week before her soapbox nationals, and then a year later his wife died. And so he's just suffered a lot of loss and was just kind of really closed up about it. So that you find out and you're like, oh, poor Vic. But it's like, I'm glad Vic, you know, he's got friends now, he's got support system, it's all coming up Vic. And so they make it to nationals and it's like, wow, amazing, look at all these people, look at all these soapbox cars and stuff. And then his mom gets up team jerseys. And so they're kind of looking around and there's this like girl that, Craig, are you gone?
Oh no, Bridget left. Oh.
Can you guys hear me?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Why?
Yes.
You guys hear me?
Yeah. Hi.
Can you hear us?
Can you hear us?
Bridget? Fuck you, Bridget. I don't think she can hear us.
Bridget.
You guys hear me?
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Bridget?
Speak.
I am.
Oh, now my headphones aren't working. Damn it. It's fine, whatever. I don't care.
Can you hear us, though?
I can hear you.
Okay, well, we can hear you.
Yeah, you're okay, fine.
I just had to take my headphones out. I don't know what the fuck's going on. Can I continue?
Okay. Okay, well, okay, they're at the Nationals, and then there's this, Justin kind of has a rival. She showed up, like, before when they were touring, when Vic was, like, showing him around, and he's like, ooh, cute girl, you have any advice? She's like, yeah, I'm number one, don't get in my way. And so, now they're at Nationals, and she's like, you're in my way, why did I tell you about this? And so, her dad is, like, kind of really intense. I was just like, I have some current concerns. He's abusing his child, so.
Right.
Yeah. Also, someone calls social services for this girl.
He's also the guy from Cheers and Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I forgot his name, but.
Yes.
And don't remember his
that
name.
That is true. I don't remember his name either. But he's famous. You know his face. And so that's that girl's dad, and he's, like, really intense. And so, he sees how well Justin does in his trial run. So he's like, I didn't spend a Brazilian dollars on your race car so you could lose to this kid. And so he looks inside Justin's race car and is like, this is very interesting. And he like tucks it away. It's a big no-no.
Yeah, that's a big no-no rule. You can't look at people's insides.
Mm-hmm. It's rude to look on the inside. And then he does it. So that's rude. And then he saves the information away. He's like, ooh, I'm gonna use this. And so there's a scene where they're checking out the track for Nationals at night, and they throw all these golf balls down to see how they bounce and stuff, and like see how they accelerate and whatnot. I don't know. They're checking out the track for the race. And so the next day, they're getting ready, and Ricky Bobby's on television, and his brother's giving him shit like, hey, remember that guy who came to visit you in the hospital? Yeah, right. And so on the television, Ricky Bobby's like, actually, this kid Justin Yoder gave me some advice, and his brother's like, what the fuck? And then his parents are like, what the fuck? Yeah, so it's pretty funny. Because Justin's like, see, I wasn't lying. And his parents are like, wow. That is your bedpan. You're right. He did steal that. And then they get a knock at the door from this old ass white guy. And he's like, we hear that your son's using a handbrake. And they go, yeah. And he goes, well, that's like illegal. You can't do that. And his mom's like, well, our son's paralyzed from the waist down, so he can't use a foot brake. And so this guy's like, well, there's a committee, you know, we're going to review your case, but it's not good. We don't like change. We don't like people coming in messing with the soapbox derby rules. And so obviously that's like super messed up, and they're going to go like fight, you know, they're going to go to this committee hearing. They're going to fight to the death. Battle Royale.
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. Yes. They're going to go to this committee hearing to hopefully, like, let them, have them overturn whatever they're doing and let Justin race. And while they're leaving, Justin's like, I just wanted this one thing. I just wanted to be like you. He says it to his brother. Because he's really upset. You know, understandably. And he tells his brother, I've always just wanted to be just like you, because he's looked up to him for so much. And Seth is just like, he's got his look on his face like, well, you're not like me, okay? You're Frankie Muniz, and I'm whatever my actor name is, okay? It's not the same.
I'm Ben Affleck. You're Cuba Gooding Jr.
I'm the Mary, you're the Rhoda. And so he has this like look on his face, like for a second you're like, he's gonna do something, what's it gonna be? And so it shows them at the committee hearing, Vic and Justin and Justin's parents, and they're like, well, there's no competitive advantage, like advantage for using a handbrake, you don't even use it until after you cross the finish line, what's the big deal? And all these dudes are like, well, it says in the rules you can only use a foot brake, like those are just the rules. Sorry, your kid's paralyzed, but, you know, sucks to be him. And so they're just essentially saying politely, but thinking in their head, this is fucked up. And in my head, I was like, lawsuit. Because I was like, you know what you need to do? You need to sue the fuck out of this organization. Because, wow, that's super fucked up. And they're just like, if we change this one thing, we're going to allow any and every change to happen. We're going to open ourselves up to all this change.
We're going to have dogs wanting to do soapbox races.
Yeah. Okay. It doesn't say dogs can soapbox race in the Bible, okay? That's not okay. What, you think that's fine? And I was like, what is up with these people? And so it looks like they're going to tell, well, I mean, for sure, they're just like, we're not going to let your son race. And so they're going to do the official vote. But then Seth is like, hold the fuck up. Shut up, old white man. And he goes, in school, we learned about, you know, equality and opportunity and access to media. And I've been calling every newspaper and radio station and TV station within the 50-mile radius. And all these reporters come in. And he's like, you can let my brother race and don't be discriminating assholes, or they're going to tell the whole world about you and you're going to be shunned from society. And so they do end up letting Justin race because they don't want to, you know, be portrayed as like bigots and stuff in the media. So that's cool. So Justin is allowed to race. And there's a montage of him winning all the races, you know. He wins all his heats, and then there's a matchup between him and that one rival girl, and then her dad's like, I'm gonna fucking kill you if you don't win this race. And then I'm like, please call social services for this poor child. And so the race happens, and it happens in like slow motion. The race probably takes like, you know, what, like 30 seconds, but I feel like the scene lasts for 2 minutes because it's like reaction, inner monologue, reaction, facial reaction. But it's essentially like Justin's like, when I'm focused, you know, I'm number one. I feel so good when I race. I'm awesome. And also, I guess before that, his brother gave him like a speech, like gave him a little talk before the race. He's like, just in case you crash and die and I never get to speak to you again, is like, I'm really proud of you. You know, you're the most amazing person in my life. You're my hero. And so when he's racing, Justin kind of repeats this in his head, and he ends up winning by like a smidge, like a tenth of a second or something. And so, you know, there's a victorious scene of, you know, people just like, yeah, go Justin. He gets his big ass trophy, and he becomes the winner of the National Soapbox Association Derby thing championship that year. And the announcer's like, we're proud to present this trophy to you. But in my head, I was like, didn't you just like an hour ago want to not let him race because he had a disability? Are you happy about it? I don't think you are in your heart, but whatever. So Justin ends up winning. And everybody's just really happy. And the ending kind of shows them at home. Justin's dad and his brother are playing basketball. And Justin's kind of like, you know, reflecting on everything that's happened. He has this big ass trophy now to match his brother's in his room. And so he goes to chit chat with God again. And he talks to Ricky Bobby God and is like, hey, you know, that grand plan, you know, that you had in mind. Just want to say this was a good one. You know, you're right. And Justin's like, when people, I just have a question for you. And he's like, okay, shoot. And he goes, when people go to heaven, are they perfect? And so he's like, do you want to get like a sneak peek? Want like a preview? Want like a trailer?
I honestly thought that this is like, he would die right there.
It's like, he could die happy because he got his trophy and he's going to heaven. Justin Yoder did not die. And actually he is still alive. So, but God has this big door and he has the keys in his little race car uniform belt, and he takes the key out and he unlocks the door and the door opens, and it's essentially just showing all these people who had, you know, passed, and they're doing angel things in heaven, and they all use wheelchairs,
angel things.
And they're just chilling in heaven, you know? And Justin's like, that is perfect. And that's kind of how the movie ends, you know? Very positive. And then there's actual footage at the end of actual Justin Yoder.
Oh, I did not.
And it kind of...
Beyond that long, I guess.
It was like literally like 2 seconds after this scene of the angels.
What was it? Oh.
Yeah, I think it was.
Did you seriously go like, it's done, all right, I'm out?
Yes, I did, because I definitely don't remember that. I was like, all right. I mean, it was 2 o'clock in the morning when I finished it, so.
Oh, okay. Yes, it
was, but I definitely was like, all right, well, I'm done. I'll go
wow,
back
what a great movie. Yeah.
Done.
Well, Bridget, I'll tell you for you and everybody else who didn't stick around 1 second after that scene ended. there's some title cards at the end that shows there's some real footage of Justin, just kind of showing the aftermath of kind of changes that happened after he won. So there's a bunch of, they talked about different national service clubs that now make it their mission statement to help disabled and economically disadvantaged children compete in soapbox derby events and other sporting events, and that the handbrake actually that was made for Justin's car is called the Justin Brake. So that was named after him, and it's used still for people who need to use it. And yeah, that's pretty much the end. It kind of just shows, because of him, all these changes, you know, for accessibility happened for soapbox racing. And it's just really a positive, you know, really nice movie, I thought. A lot of heartfelt moments, you know, but a lot of funny moments. There's some good comedy in this one, which I thought was great. What did you guys think?
Yeah, it was entertaining, but yeah. Entertaining, to say the least.
Yeah, yes. It was pretty good. I thought it was good.
Pretty good.
Not my go-to movie, but I mean, it was good.
It's pretty depressing.
It's not my go-to movie, but I actually think this is one of the better, maybe the best, one of the best acted Disney movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Besides, The Color of Friendship had amazing acting in it. I think this movie had amazing acting in it, just because I think, you know, Frankie Muniz was a child actor, so he had a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. And so did, you know, his brother. So I think a lot of, you know, there wasn't any awkward dialogue or like kind of like stiff moments. It was very genuine. So I thought it was very well produced and very well acted. Not my go-to, like you said, but it is worth a watch. Mm-hmm. You know, there's There's a side plot, if you want it to be, about his parents having to turn to a life of filming pornos to, you know, pay for his medical bills.
Whatever keeps that again, marriage alive.
Yeah. They love strawberry massage oil. It's their favorite flavor. you know, scar their children. Seth never... I'm going to pretend, you know, Seth never found out, as a side note. They should have had a title card that was like, and Seth never found out what that strawberry deal was. He doesn't know why his parents keep strawberries in the bedroom. And to this day, Justin says, don't ask. You just don't do it.
Every time he goes by the strawberry aisle, he'll be like, la, 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 la,
la, la.
To this day, nobody knows why his aversion from strawberries is so strong. what would you guys rate this one?
I would say 7 strawberry massage bottles out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's really good. I guess it was kind of like, again, I watched it early this morning, late last night. And so I guess I was kind of like, you know, it didn't seem to, I had a hard time like staying interested in it. It was good. It was well written and well acted. But yeah, not one of my go-tos, but overall, you know, pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. What would you rate it, Will?
I give it about 7. Field goals in soccer out of 10 as well.
Nice. I'm also actually gonna rate it a 7. I'm gonna rate it 7 crotchety old men who've placed walls around their heart so they don't feel anything due to tragic backstory out of 10.
That's great.
I think one of the only, I don't know, there probably is more, but I can't think of any other ones off the top of my head that are based on real people, like real life events. I don't think there's, well, like there is, but I just can't remember.
Color of Friendship was kind of. Sort of.
Yeah, part of it. It was mostly.
It's a fictionalized version of a true story.
Yeah. So back to back, we had 2 like biopics essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. The next one is not based on a real story.
Let's do Luck of the Irish. That'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's March now. I don't know what month it is ever, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's good. We can do Luck of the Irish next. We'll flash forward. Yeah. For St. Patty's, and then we'll flashback because I like Luck of the Irish a lot. And then we'll watch Stepsister. Oh my gosh, Bridget, you could do Stepsister from Planet Weird because you hate it so much. You do all the alien movies.
Can't wait. I should do that.
Just like I think I'm gonna be sick that day. I'm planning to have laryngitis.
I can't talk. Can't.
Well, it was good talking to you guys about.
Good talking to you.
Boxcar racing and perhaps the things parents have to do to pay their medical bills and keep their children happy and healthy
is what it is.
And gotta do what you gotta do. I don't shame you. You do it.
We don't do it. Shame here.
We don't shame sex workers. You know, just it is what it is.
Yeah, I just hope that they were happy doing it, you know? I hope they had I hope they had a fun time, like, with their life, you know? Mm-hmm. Anybody ever really wants is just to be happy, you know? So.
Exactly.
We'll chat with you guys next week. And I'm going to go eat dinner.
All right.
Strawberries.
Yeah, I have sudden craving for strawberries for some reason. Sounds is so good. Actually, I'm not going to lie. I would eat strawberries if they were here. They actually kind of do sound good, so.
I don't know if I'll be able to eat strawberries for a while after this.
That's your loss, Bridget. cool. I'll chat with you guys next week then.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye.
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 No, stupid.